Welcome to the STC Daily Podcast. This year, having already looked at Acts and Ephesians, we're focusing on some other New Testament letters. If this podcast encourages you, why not pass on the link?
Welcome to Friday's podcast. Next week, STC's very own Mr. James Brown will start us off on a journey through 1 Peter. Today, our reading is 2 Thessalonians 3, verses 14 to 18, which is the conclusion of Paul's second letter to the Thessalonians. Today, we focus on verse 15, which is this. You do not regard them as an enemy, but warn them as you would a fellow believer. A thought for the day. In our household, we use something called the Naughty Step. It's the brainchild of Joe Frost, TV super nanny. And the principle is this. If your child is misbehaving, you send them to a step. Ideally, the bottom step on your stairs. And you calmly explain why you're sending them to the step. And if they're 3 years old, they sit there for 3 years. If they sit there for three minutes. If they're 4 years old, they sit there for 4 minutes. And the step, in theory, de-escalates a bit of a conflict situation, a tantrum. And after the time's up, you can calmly talk about what happened. And the child makes an apology. And you hug it out. Well, that's the theory anyway. Now, some people love it. Some people hate it. We find it works, eventually. And there's been more than one occasion when one of our children has shouted back at me in the heat of battle, "No, you sit on the naughty step." Honestly, in those moments, 41 minutes with a book, chilling, sitting on a step, that'd be awesome. Now, the Apostle Paul is referring in these passages to what is sometimes known as church discipline, or, you know, a bit like the church naughty step. It's not a topic that is often talked about in church life for all kinds of reasons, good and bad. However, read through the New Testament, and you do see it actually, it can just feel a little bit clunky and offensive to our culture. We need to remember, before we unpack this, that the Thessalonian church is small. It's the size of a household. Think if you're STC, think big cluster. Don't think people sitting in rows, anonymously, listening to some kind of speaker in an auditorium. In your mind, think extended family, in a home, that kind of vibe. So if you have someone, like we talked about yesterday, somebody's not really pulling their weight, it becomes a bit of a problem for everyone. And if there is an issue in somebody's life, and for Paul, he states that someone who does not obey our instructions, which is a kind of call to discipleship as he's written in his letter, then Paul is really stating and saying to the early Christians, actually, you should confront that person or challenge them. And if it needs to be for a season, they may have to go sit on the naughty step. There is no doubt that church discipline has been abused, sometimes on a systemic scale in recent times and indeed in history. It's an absolute travesty that people in leadership have fallen sometimes way below the standard that is required and really hurt the people in their care. And rightly, in an age of safeguarding and a desire for emotionally healthy leadership, there is a sensitivity to anything that even has the whiff of control and abuse. We should not and cannot ignore that. But I have encountered, and still do if I'm honest, that when we talk about bringing challenge to people, to friends, to other believers, there's quite a quick response, and it's this. Well, Jesus is all about grace, freedom and forgiveness, right? So why the need for discipline? That just seems so harsh. Well, actually, I think Jesus is about those things, sure. He's surely about love, grace and forgiveness, but also transformation through repentance. That when we talk about the gospel does require a call back to God, a turning back to him, a surrendering of our life. For example, when we talk about the kingdom of God, and we should talk about the kingdom of God more, there's a huge amount of talk right now about justice, and absolutely rightly so, because God's kingdom is a kingdom of justice. But we can't lose sight of, when we talk about the kingdom, where there's a kingdom, there's a king. And where there's a king, there's an authority. And where there's an authority, there is a choice to bow the knee to the king. For example, when we come into the Lord's presence, and in the charismatic church, we pray for the coming of the Holy Spirit, rightly so, We're actually asking the Spirit of God to search our hearts. And as he searches our hearts, he has a view about the way we live our lives. The issue for us in our time is that it is very easy to see repentance and confession as a purely personal thing. For example, I receive a challenge from God and I deal with it privately with him. It's kind of like me and God. It's nothing to do with you or anybody else. But Paul's calling the church to such a deep level of love and community that we don't ignore the stuff in each other that needs to be challenged. This is something in our consumer individualized world I think that we need to recover more and more. Paul is not talking to people who primarily see themselves as individual consumers who engage with church on their terms. He sees it as a family where everyone belongs to each other. Everyone is invested in each other. So, do you know, I think that means that with love in our hearts, having pulled out the planks from our eyes, we take a deep breath. We pray like mad to Jesus, and in complete humility, we gently call out things that aren't right. We give feedback. And we do that for the sake of love so that we can grow and become more like Christ. Grow in love, grow in discipleship, and for the sake of the expansion of the kingdom. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, let us not just talk a great game about community, but Father, may we walk in it in greater depth. And Lord, may we walk in deeper union with you and in deeper communion with one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 14 to 18. Take special note of anyone who does not obey our instruction in this letter. Do not associate with them in order that they may feel ashamed. Yet do not regard them as an enemy, but warn them as you would a fellow believer. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with all of you. I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand, which is the distinguishing mark in all my letters. This is how I write. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Darkness to light, set my feet high on this mountain, put my enemies to flight. So I now will praise you as long as I live. I will praise you again and again. When I walk through the valley, I will not fear, for you are my strength and my shield. When everything around me is overtaken, shaken. I'll never be shaken. I'll never be shaken. I'll never be shaken. You are Lord, you keep my lamp burning. You have turned my darkness to light, set my feet high on this mountain, for my enemies to fly. So I now won't praise you as long as I live, as long as I live. I won't praise you.